This year we had the opportunity to come to visit our churches, supporting churches here in the States, as well as our individual donors. And the organization that we work with, Word of Life Fellowship, we were able to have our Word of Life Leadership Conference, where we have field directors from 65 countries around the world. They all came in the month of April, and we had our 10 days of leadership conference down in Florida, in Hudson. So this morning during the Sunday school hour, I will be sharing from the Word. And during the main service, I will be sharing about the ministry of Word of Life Papua New Guinea. And then there's a verse that I will share, and that verse will just wrap up the ministry presentation during the main service hour. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want you to open to the book of Jonah. And I know that most of us are familiar with the story of Jonah. And I see the story of Jonah is relevant to you and I as Christians in this particular time and age that we are living in right now. When you read in 2 Kings chapter number 14, verse 25, in that verse, the name of Jonah is mentioned once. And two verses prior to verse 25, when you read in verses 23 and verse 24, in these two verses, we read that God used Jonah to prophesy to King Jeroboam II that most of the land during that time that were occupied by the Assyrians and other countries, those foreigners, all those land will be recovered by him. And of course, when you read about King Jeroboam II, he is not one of the good kings of Israel. He was one of the bad kings. Religiously, he practiced idolatry. However, during his reign of 41 years, God used him to recover the land that belongs to the nation of Israel. The book of Jonah, of course, we all know it as 41 chapters. And in chapter number one, it's all about the stories about Jonah runs away from God. In chapter number two, it's about Jonah's prayer. Chapter number three, Jonah went to Nineveh. And chapter number four, in that particular story, we saw that, or when you read through that story, Jonah was unhappy. And then that was the end of the chapter. In chapter number one, there are 17 verses, and I have divided those verses into four different sections. Section number one, from verses 1 to 3, it's about Jonah's disobedience. Chapter number one, verse 4 to 9, the storm at sea. Chapter number 1, verse 10 to 16, Jonah thrown into the sea. And in verse number 17, the story is about Jonah in the belly's fish. So we will just go ahead, read through these 17 verses. And then there are 9 lessons from these verses that I want to share with us. And then we will be done. So let's read through these 17 verses and we will go before the Lord in prayer. So in verse number 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. In verse number 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Tarshish is 2,500 miles in the opposite direction across the Mediterranean Sea, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarsus. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Verse number 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Verse number 6. So the shipmaster, the captain of the ship, came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, everyone to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know from whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the man knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. In verse number 11, then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may become unto us? For the sea wroth, and was tempestuous. In verse number 12, and he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea become unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wroth, and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from raging. Then the man feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Verse number 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this wonderful day that you have given us. And Lord, it's a joy to be in the house of the Lord, and thank you that we can be able to come together to fellowship. And Lord, I pray that as we dig into your word, that your Holy Spirit will be the one to teach us from your truths, and whatever lessons that we will learn from these verses, Lord, I pray that we will take it in and apply it to our own personal lives, and that, Lord, we will live the life that you really want us to live, and that is to glorify you. And I commit myself into your hands. Use me as a vessel. I pray for each and every one of us, and I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in these 17 verses, I'm going to just go ahead and paraphrase all these verses, and then I'll share the 9 lessons that I picked out from these verses. So in verse number 1, God's word came to Jonah. In verse number 2, God gave him a task to go to Nineveh, to tell the people to repent from their sins. And in verse number 3, the Bible tells us that Jonah runs away from God. In verse number 4, God found Jonah. God sent a great wind, and the Bible tells us that the ship was about to break. And in verse number 5, the Bible tells us that the sailors, or the mariners, they were afraid. And I was thinking that these men were experienced sailors. They have sailed the ocean or the sea so many times. But I believe that this experience probably was one of the worst experiences that they had ever encountered in their life. So what happened? They threw everything that is on board, whatever cargo, whatever were, into the sea to lighten the load. And the Bible tells us that Jonah went into the lowest part of the ship, and he was fast asleep. In verse number 6, the captain came to Jonah, saw him asleep, and the captain asked him, What do you mean? In other words, what the captain is saying is this, What's wrong with you, Jonah? Don't you see that we are all going to die? So he asked him to call upon his God so that his God will rescue them and they will not perish. In verse number 7, the Bible tells us that they cast lots. I don't know the process on how it goes about or how it works, but God intervened and they found out that Jonah was the culprit. In verse number 8, the Bible tells us that the sailors, they were afraid, and they begged Jonah to tell them about the cause of the trouble. They demanded answers from him, and they questioned him with several questions. Whose fault and the trouble came upon us? They asked him about his occupation. Where do you come from? What is your country? What people group are you from? And in verse number 9, Jonah responded. He said that he is a Hebrew, and he feared the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. In verse number 10, the Bible tells us that when the men heard these words, they were afraid. And they asked Jonah, why did he run away from the presence of the Lord? In verse number 11, they again asked him, they begged him, what shall we do to you so that the sea may remain calm for us? And in verse number 12, Jonah told him, pick me up and throw me into the sea, and the sea will be calm. And in verse number 11, the Bible said, nevertheless, in other words, the men, they changed their mind. Instead of throwing Jonah overboard, they decided that they will row hard to the land, but they could not because the wind and the sea was getting extremely, extremely fierce. In verse number 4, they prayed and they cried out to the Lord, and they prayed that the blood of the innocent man will not be held against them if it is God's will. So in verse number 15, they pick up Jonah and they threw him into the raging sea, and the raging sea ceased. In verse number 16, the Bible tells us that the man, when they saw what had happened, they feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered sacrifices and made vows. And I don't know what sacrifices did they offer, because they were trying to lighten the load. They threw everything overboard. Maybe they have those cages where the pigeons are. I'm not really sure. But they offered sacrifice, and then they made vows. Probably their vows is that they will serve Jonah's God instead of their false gods. And in verse number 17, God prepared a great fish. It swallowed Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. So what are the lessons that we can learn from this story? There are 9 lessons that I pick out. Probably there's more. When you go back, you sit down, you go through it, you can figure, or you can pick out some more lessons from these 17 verses. Well, the first lesson, I picked it out from verse number 1, and here's the first lesson. The first lesson is, God's ways are much better than our ways. God's ways are much better than our ways. God wanted Jonah to be the vessel that God can use to bring the people to him, but Jonah refused. Jonah chooses his own way out. And I wrote a note like, our own way is not always the best way. Our own way is not always the best way. If you want to go your own way or choose your destination, your own destination, you will always be asking for trouble. It is better to stay in the will of God than to be sorry. So this is the first lesson. God's ways are much better than our ways. What's the second lesson? The second lesson, I picked it out from verse number 2. And here's the second lesson. We need to see unbelievers from God's perspective. We need to see the unbelievers from God's perspective. So here's the contrast. Jonah's view versus God's view. Jonah's view versus God's view. For Jonah, it categorizes those people. God doesn't categorize people's sin. God sees people as sinners and sin as sin. So here's Jonah's view. For Jonah cared less about the people of Nineveh. For God's view, God cared about those people. Jonah's view, Jonah, he hated them. God, he loved them. Jonah, he shows no compassion to these people. God, the Bible tells us that he's compassionate, he's a gracious God, and he's full of mercy. Jonah, he wished that God will destroy them. God, he wants to save them. Jonah, he sees them as his enemy. God, he wants to be their friend. Jonah, he seeks revenge. God, he wants to forgive. Jonah, he discriminates. God doesn't show favoritism. And I have this question in my mind. Why is there so much hate on Jonah's part? Or why is there so much hate in Jonah's heart? Well, I did a research and I found there are a few reasons why Jonah hated these people. The first reason is that in the year 722 BC, many of the towns in Israel during Jonah's day were destroyed by the Assyrians, the Assyrian invasion of Israel. That's why Jonah is not excited about the Assyrians. He hated them. Secondly, Jonah wanted God to judge Nineveh for its sin. And I was able to read through a commentary, and the commentator mentioned that Nineveh was like Sodom and Gomorrah during the time of Abraham when God destroyed that city. So you talk about homosexuals and etc. Yeah, Jonah knew that that's what's been practiced in that city. Sin has gone out of hand. And for Jonah, he wants God to destroy that city. And the other reason is because of political oppression from the Assyrian government. And then the brutality and ill treatment that they have towards their enemies. Whenever they conquer the city, what they will usually do with their enemies, they will sometimes skin their enemies alive, or they will place them in a dog kennel, or even they will pour boiling oil all over them. So for Jonah to go and preach to them, it's like, no way. It's not going to be me, Lord. I might as well run away from these people. And I really want you to destroy them. That was Jonah's intention. When you look around you today, we live in a time and age where sin is so visible. Sexual immorality is portrayed out in the open. We hear about gangs, crimes, violence in the media. There are a lot of drug and alcohol abuse. For Papua New Guinea, it's mostly prevalent amongst the young people. We see a lot of hatred, conflicts, prejudice, and the list goes on. And the question that I want to ask you is this: what is your perception towards those unbelievers? Do you see them the way that God sees them, or do you see them the way that Jonah sees them? The second lesson, taken from verse number 3. You cannot hide from God. You cannot hide from God. You can run, but you cannot hide. Jonah ran away from God, but he cannot hide. You can run away or hide from people, but you cannot run away or hide from God. You can do some things in secret that nobody knows, but God knows. And eventually, it will be exposed. You cannot hide from God. That's lesson number 3. Lesson number 4 is in verse number 4. Disobedience leads to chastisement. Disobedience leads to chastisement. God chastised Jonah because of disobedience. And I believe that as a child of God, as a Christian, God will do whatever that he can to bring his wayward children back to him. He will use whatever resources and measures to do that. And sometimes it will be very, very painful. Maybe a loss of a loved one, or you might lose your job, your business will break down, and something terrible might happen to you. So there are so many reasons that you can give on what's going to happen to you. Or maybe you have witnessed a particular church member or a Christian that wandered away from God and God had to chastise him. What's the fifth lesson? The fifth lesson is in verse number 5. The fifth lesson is our sin affects or will affect those that are around us. Our sin will affect those that are around us. Think about Jonah. Jonah's sin affected those that are around him. What happened to him? He didn't show any sign of concern or care for the safety of those sailors. He was so stubborn. He was ignorant. He went to sleep. And then they had to wake him up. And this can be true to us. We can be too ignorant and stubborn and being and insensitive of what the outcome of our sin will do to those that we love and those that we care. Our sin affects or will affect those that are around us. The sixth lesson is taken from verses number 6 to 7. And the sixth lesson is, your sin will always find you out. Your sin will always find you out. Jonah's sin got the better of him. Jonah's sin got exposed. He ran away from God. He was hiding in the bottom of the ship. But the captain and the sailors, they were able to find him. You can run away, thinking that you will hide whatever that you sow, you will eventually reap. The seventh lesson, in verse number 8 to 9. When you sin, it will cause people to question your integrity or question your beliefs. And I remember there was one time in Papua New Guinea, I know of a guy that I used to disciple. He truly loved the Lord, and I was having high expectation for this young man. And eventually he decided to wander away from the Lord. And he ended up in a place where he shouldn't go to. And as soon as the people, when they saw him, "What are you doing in this place? You are a Christian. Aren't you supposed to be somewhere instead of being in this place?" Or they will ask you, "So you're a Christian. How come you are being involved in this particular sin?" So the sailors, they question Jonah's integrity. We don't want people to question our integrity. We want to be faithful. We want to serve God faithfully and be that good witness to the people so that they can see Christ in us and many can come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. The eighth reason is in verses 11 to 13, and that's what I put down. Genuine repentance is a tension. So how do we know that genuine repentance is a tension? Well, when the sailors, they asked Jonah questions, Jonah did not deny any of the questions. He was truthful and honest with all his answers. Sometimes we do make mistakes. And if we try to go about to defend ourselves, probably it's not a good thing. We have to be honest whenever we make a mistake and ask whoever for forgiveness. And we need to be truthful to tell them the truth about where we went wrong. The ninth lesson is from verses 14 to 15. And this is what I wrote down. Forgive, forget, and move on. Let God deal with that person. Forgive, forget, and move on. Let God deal with that person. Well, forgive, you just let go. Of course, you are not going to forget. What do I mean when I say forget? What I meant is that you do not bring up that person's mistake ever again. When you say you forgive that person, and then you go around and you're with your friends, and all of a sudden, you brought it up again. That's not forgiveness. A pastor came to Papua New Guinea during our missions, not our missions conference, or during the medical healthcare event that we had. And that pastor is from Atlanta. He came to Papua New Guinea and he preached on forgiveness. And he mentioned that if you don't forgive a person that did wrong to you, it's like you are drinking poison, expecting that person to die, but you're killing yourself slowly. So forgive, forgive, forget, and move on. That's what we should be doing. We don't have to have grudges against this person. Let God deal with that person. So in these nine lessons that we just read, in all these verses, what are the characters of God portrayed in this story? Well, there's four characters of God that is portrayed in this story. In verses number 1 to 2, we see that God is love, God is compassionate, he still loves the sinners, he dislikes their sin. For Christians, he still loves us, even though when we go astray. The other character of God portrayed in the story is God is omnipresent. God's presence cannot be escaped by land or by sea. Even David's words in Psalms chapter number 139, verses 8 to 9, it gives an even more vivid picture of God's presence everywhere. In verse number 6, another of God's character portrayed in this verse is God is just and God is merciful. He is the just judge. He will judge one day. And he will judge every people equally. He is not biased. He will not show favoritism. So whatever that we do for the Lord as Christians, God is going to judge us. Even those people that are unsaved during the great white throne judgment after the millennium period in Revelation chapter number 20, 14, and 15, God is going to judge them. In verse number 16, another of God's character portrayed in this verse is God is omnipotent. God is all powerful. And I put a note down and I wrote something like this to wrap our thoughts around verse number 16. Our true confession of who Christ is through our conduct, our actions, and our speech will bring people to our Lord and personal Savior, Jesus Christ. Of course, we see about Jonah. Jonah confessed that he is the servant of the God of heaven who created the land and sea. And at least, he had made it known to them verbally. To summarize all these verses, as Christians, God expects us to be obedient to his commands. Whatever principles that are in the scriptures, whatever commands that God has given us, God wants us to obey them. The other thing that we see in this verse, it is not possible to run away of God's presence. Everything in creation is subject to God's sovereignty. God's desire is for all lost people to be saved. God has great compassion and mercy for the lost. And God wants us to have that same compassion to the lost people. And we must know that the gospel of Jesus Christ and the salvation, the free gift of salvation, is for everyone, regardless of whatever race, whatever color, your ethnic background, people need to hear about the gospel. Don't be a Jonah. God wants to use you. God wants you to be the witness in the community, in the neighborhood that you live in, so that many people can come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Sin is visible. Who is going to stand in the gap and warn those people about the danger? To wrap up, before God will send his judgment, he always warned the people first. You see it in the Old Testament. He will send the prophets to the people to warn these people. If they don't repent from their sins, God is going to judge them. Today we are in this grace dispensation. God wants us to warn the people, to tell the people to repent from their sins. Because if they don't repent from their sins, the time will come that God will say, enough. And God is going to judge the world. People will be heading towards destruction, which is the lake of fire. You and I, as God's instruments, can be able to tell the people about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ so that many can come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and personal Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this wonderful day that you have given us. And Lord, we just read through Jonah chapter number 1, and I know that there are so many lessons that we can pick out from these verses, and then we can expand on them. But Lord, I pray that whatever those 9 lessons that I have shared, maybe there's 1 of the 9, or 2 out of the 9, or 3 out of the 9 that we can apply to our own personal lives. Lord, I pray that we can be able to do that. And go out and live that life for you. After all, God, you want us to be the vessel that you want to use to be your shining light in this dark world that we live in. So we can tell people about Jesus Christ and many can come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. And Lord, there are so many challenges that are out there. And we thank you so much for the resources that you have given us. Your Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And I pray that, Lord, as Christians, that on day-to-day, daily basis, that we will stay in your Word and pray that your Holy Spirit, who is the author of the Scripture, will be able to use the Scriptures, the principles, and will always remind us to live the life that you want us to live. And help us not to forsake the principles. Thank you now, and I commit each and every one of us into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.